here this morning, and those of you who weren't, we talked about a little bit about ICANN's structures and ICANN's mandate and how the multi-stakeholder model facilitates ICANN's work. We're going to get a little bit more detailed this afternoon, so some of your more detailed questions will be able to get answered for you. So we're going to talk a little bit about functions required to manage ICANN in names and numbers, including policy development, operating the DNS, registry, registrar, competition, GTLDs and IDNs, security and stability, and other training and awareness that is happening around things like DNS security. Over here to my almost very far right is Rob Hogarth, who is a senior director of policy and community engagement, and he is here to talk a little bit about the policy development
process. Great. Thanks very much, Jeannie. I appreciate it. Can I stand up? Is that okay? I think everybody else has been standing up. It's because I can't see you all the way in the back of the room. As Jeannie noted, my role and responsibility is primarily in the policy development area at ICANN. I'm a member of a team of about 25 staff members geographically distributed around the world, supporting the various supporting organizations and advisory committees within ICANN. And I'm just going to spend about 15, 20 minutes with you today talking about some of the highlights of policy development. How we do it, why we do it, what we do, who's involved in the process, to give you an overall general picture. Members of my team and me will be around all week long. I hope we'll have opportunities to interact, chat. I know some of them come to your various groups. Some of the groups that you're involved in, supporting organizations and advisory committees, have members of my team working with you. And so I'll give you the highlight, let you know where some of the context fits in and sort of where policy development fits into the ICANN model. If you could go to the next slide, Jeannie. That, of course, was the overall picture. What we try to focus on is four major areas from a policy development support perspective. And what's important when you think about ICANN, and one of the most common terms that people refer to or in terms of background for the work that we do, is multi-stakeholder. The fact that policy development at ICANN, the operations of the various unique identifier systems and the rest, takes place among a community of many people, many different interests, many different regions, many different businesses, many interests that are not business. And so it's very important to realize that it is a very large community with whom we work, with whom we collaborate. And it's important that we have rules and procedures, processes in place that allow all those differences to come together, to engage in conversations, discussions, debates, sometimes arguments, and have a methodology for achieving some final purpose. So multi-stakeholderism or multi-stakeholder interaction is really a fundamental part of what we all do. And a very important thing that sometimes it's hard for us to remember when we're in our own particular group having individual discussions. The other critical element of policy development at ICANN is this concept of bottom-up. You'll hear that throughout the course of this meeting and at future ICANN meetings. This constant drive and desire to ensure that it's the community that drives the discussions of policy development, that identifies the issue, that raises the concerns. It's not the staff, it's not the board of directors. And again, a lot of the processes and capabilities that we have in place are designed to sort of create that momentum or to create that approach, that channel of work. The concept, even if something comes from outside ICANN that requires the community to work and engage, the aspect of the decisions, the discussions, and the deliberations need to take place from the community and sort of rise up to the board level. Because a lot of the work that the supporting organizations and advisory committees do are oriented toward recommendations to the board. The board is still the ultimate decision makers, but the recommendations, the work, the conversations, it's critical that they come from the community, from the bottom up, rather than the alternative, which is a top-down type model. The other two aspects on the slides that are very important and almost sound the same, but I'll describe the difference, are really critical to the work that we do. The first, in terms of openness, is a recognition that what we do is open to all. that it's a methodology, a system of work that invites people to participate. One example that we'll touch on very briefly is the generic name supporting organization. Within the GNSO, the policy development process is featured or centered around working groups. And the key critical factor of that is that the working groups are open to all. You don't have to be from the GNSO. You can be from any of the other ICANN structures or communities, or you could just be an interested party who comes in and has an interest in a particular issue. Again, it's that concept of openness that contributes to the multi-stakeholder concept that contributes to that process. Transparency is an offshoot of that, but that's not so much who is participating, but how we do our work. And the important aspect there is that the work that we do, the meetings, the working group sessions, the conversations that take place need to be transparent so that people understand what's going on. Not every member of the community or outside the community can regularly participate in every working group, can be involved in every deliberation. And so as a result, we have to have mechanisms in place that allow someone who isn't participating regularly or someone who hasn't participated at all to have the opportunity to see what's going on, to be able to review a transcript of a meeting, to be able to listen to a recording, to see the drafting and the collaboration work that takes place when a specific report or decision is being made. So that concept of transparency is very important. It helps to produce a legitimate organization because everybody knows that whatever you're talking about, you're being recorded. People have the opportunity to read what you said. There's an opportunity to go back and check the email archives and see what the discussion was on a particular issue 6 months, 6 years ago. And so that drives the ethos, if you will, of the policy development work. It allows everybody to be able to understand what went on, what transpired, and what points of view are being expressed. There's another piece of transparency that's also important to understand, and it relates back to the multi-stakeholder model, and that is that we are also, as individuals who participate in policy development, are transparent about our interests. So as a participant in a policy development effort or a working group at ICANN, people are interested to know, what are your interests? What's your background? What drives you to participate? Because the position that you take on an issue may be driven by the type of business that you have, the organization that you represent, the country that you're from, the region that you're experienced in. And people sometimes confuse what we call statements of interest with conflicts of interest. Basically, from the ICANN perspective, it's very important, if you participate in policy development activities, that you state your interests, that people understand where are you coming from and what do you have to say, because that will color your position. Okay, you're part of the decision-making process. One might argue that, boy, you have an interest in the process, so you might be conflicted. That's different from, you know, representing a particular organization. You're here at ICANN to participate in the debates and the discussions, to contribute your knowledge, your expertise. And so this concept of transparency from where you're coming from and what you're hoping to achieve is, again, built into the work that we do. So that's, you know, sort of the how and some of the bigger pictures. If we can go to the next slide, you'll see some of the who. Who includes all of you, by the way. But many of you will associate yourselves with a particular organization or set of interests in ICANN. ICANN is fundamentally divided from a structural perspective into groups that make policy recommendations to the board and groups that simply provide advice to the board, sometimes on those very recommendations, and in other ways simply from a perspective of wanting to be heard and expressing points of view. And so the community is structured in two major parts, supporting organizations and advisory committees. On the supporting organization front, and you've seen similar slides to this, so I won't go into the details about each organization, but you see policy development recommendations being developed by the generic name space in the GNSO, for the country code namespace by the CCNSO, and for the address community through the ASO. Now, the GNSO and the CCNSO are very well represented within ICANN. The communities get very large. The ASO has its own sort of policy development structure and activities that they then funnel through the board of directors, but they aren't regularly supported.